dear Father, we worship you. Thank you for the covenant that included healing. Oh, we're so grateful that we're not only saved from sin, sin blotted out, reconciled to you, in union with you at total peace and fully accepted, but that you make provision in this life, that as we walk towards that realm of glory, you make provision for us, for our welfare, for our healing. We're so grateful that you've given us every blessing in spiritual places. Everything that you have to give, you give to us, just as we would to our children. Thank you that you're our Father and you take care of us like a father and send good gifts. Thank you. Help us to see what you say today, to see it in our heart, to leave here impacted, that the scripture becomes personal to each one. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 1. This is my go-to verse, the prophecy of Zacharias. Over the years, I've taught it over and over and over again. It's a terrific synopsis of the fullness of the gospel. Zacharias was the father of John the Baptist, or we might say John the Baptizer. And Elizabeth and Zacharias were very elderly when the angel came to them and said, Elizabeth will bear your son. And he said, you got to be kidding, we're old. And so the Lord shut his mouth and he was not able to speak. And he did not speak until after the birth of, 8 days after the birth of John. Well, why was that? Your words mess things up. Did you know that? You knew that? And so he wasn't allowed to say anything contrary to the will and the plan of God. But when he began to speak, it says the Holy Ghost came upon him. That's in verse 67. Holy Ghost came and he prophesied. Now you can prophesy out of your own spirit. If you're a student of the Word, you walk in your Word and you spend time with the Lord, some things just come from your spirit. But this was farther than his spirit. This was the Spirit of the living God through his spirit, giving voice to the great plan of salvation. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Now that was the purpose of the visit. It was redemption. You know, redemption is to ransom or pay the price for someone's freedom. The word visit means to visit with a purpose. This wasn't just a drop-in haphazard thing. It means you came on a specific assignment. I've told you often my little grandmother in her latter years weighed less than 70 pounds, less than 60 sometimes, and there's a lot of things she couldn't do. So when you went to visit, you obviously wanted to love her and hug her neck, but you also got to vacuum. Gosh, yeah. And one day mother called and said, your grandmother's cooking dinner for somebody at lunch. And I said, I can't get there. Can you get there to help her? Well, and so I went, and I went on assignment. And this word visit means he came on assignment. And the assignment was to redeem or pay the price for your freedom, to pay the price for sin so that you could be free. The great plan of redemption. He was the great redeemer. We adore thee. We thy love and grace proclaim. Thou art mighty. Thou art holy. You know that old hymn? No. I bet if I could sing Elvis Presley, you'd know that, huh? No? I don't know. You're in luck because I don't know Elvis Presley. Christians, when I was growing up, Christians didn't go to movies. You knew that, right? And so Wayne took me to my first movie after we were married, and I was very disappointed. It was kind of a B-class nothing. I thought, we wasted our money here, Cumbie. And then he took me to Sound of Music, and I thought, my daddy could have been wrong about movies, because it was a great movie. And in my life, I've seen maybe a dozen. I'm not a movie watcher. And I don't care if you watch, as long as you know what you're watching, not illegal, immoral, or really dumb.
That's right.
That's the rule. He visited on purpose, and here's the purpose. It was to redeem, to buy back, to pay the ransom, to pay for sin. But in paying for sin, he paid for sickness and disease. He paid for your total well-being. He paid so you could live successfully on earth, and we have that so succinctly stated in 3 John, that we prosper and walk in health. Not healing, health. I don't think we've shot the arrow high enough. We'd be satisfied just to be well today, wouldn't we? Just think, phew.
Thank you.
I don't have a headache.
Yep.
My knees aren't knocking. Whatever bothers you. Raised up a horn. A horn is the strength of an animal. You may have seen, if you watch the nature, you probably don't. But anyway, if you do, a lot of times antlers get all tied up together, and they have a great difficulty because animals will protect themselves, and they will kick the life out of you, and all you're trying to do is set them free. And sometimes that's what we do. We protest so that we can't receive the freedom that's purchased and paid for. And so he raised up a horn of salvation. In other words, he provided in redemption the fullness of salvation, the fullness of being saved. Now, salvation is a generic word. It doesn't just mean to be saved and go to heaven. It means to be saved and enjoy living as you're going to heaven. And that was the great plan of redemption. Great Redeemer, we adore thee. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed, and I know that I am. Redeemed from the law, happy condition. Jesus' blood, there is remission. Bruised by the fall, cursed by the law. Christ hath redeemed us. Your redemption, your fullness of successful life and a heavenly home is provided for you through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that from 1 Peter 2. It says we're redeemed not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Now, the plan of redemption was always on God's docket. This wasn't a last-minute thing that when Adam sinned, he said, oh, no, what are we going to do now? He provided for them when he said, this is a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Do not eat that. Now, when Satan came to her, Satan has, the scripture uses the word wiles, our strategies, our deceit, in order to trick you, to get you on his side. And that's what he did to Eve. He said, has God said you couldn't? In other words, God has cheated you that you can't eat from everything in this garden. He made God look like a fool, and he made God look selfish and unkind, because the devil's a trickster. And she bought into that. She said, oh, we can't eat that. We can't even touch it. Now, we have no scriptural record at all that they couldn't touch it. Although it's not a bad idea. I mean, if you can't eat it, maybe you shouldn't touch it and admire it, huh? Now, when we were in Africa, they fed us this little fruit. I don't know what it was to this day. I didn't recognize it. And she said, oh, you know the... I said, no, I don't think so. And she said, okay, well, you should have a bite. And she handed it to me. Well, I started... She's, no, you can't bite. You can't eat the skin. No, don't eat the skin. Well, what do I know? So she took it apart. And it's so soft in the middle, you have to eat it with a spoon. Do y'all know that fruit? I never have seen it here. And you haven't missed anything, by the way. You've missed nothing, absolutely nothing. And I ate it, and I thanked her, and I said, I'm the master of evasion. I said, that was very interesting. You will not trap me. It would be unusual that you would trap me and get me to say something. We had some really awful meals traveling the world, really, really awful. And I always say, thank you for taking time to prepare for us. We so appreciate your time and your effort. And I didn't say, P.S., that was awful. Well, and one thing, Wayne liked what I didn't, and that was salmon. Do you like fish? When Ashley was little, that's our granddaughter. It's our only grandchild. And I used to sing to her. Suzanne's worked for us for over 20 years, and Ashley was at our house before she was able to go to school. And then when she went to school, she went down the block, and we picked her up, and she was at the house in the afternoon, and she wanted to do something, and I said, no. And she looked at me, she's real tiny, and she said, yes. Because she's always been really intelligent and part smart aleck. And I'll tell you, it's kind of a family trait, smart aleck. Now, he visited to redeem. He came to provide the power of salvation. He did that for you, and all you have to do is believe that, and with your confession of faith, partake of what was done for you. And it was a full supply. Not just live on barely get along street at the end of Grumble Alley and make it to heaven when you die. And say, thank God, I've come to the end of the way. I've come to the end of life's day. I will see the great King in his glory. My mother loved that one. And she came to the end of her day. And when you're her age, that's okay. Raised up a horn of salvation. And look, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. That's verse 70. In other words, he planned this. He planned to rescue man who would make mistakes and partake of the wrong tree. He planned a rescue. And it's in Revelation, it's also in 1 Peter, that he was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That was always the plan, was to rescue brother and sister mistake maker. Do you know them? Yeah, me too. I don't know why things haunt you, but I cheated on a test in sixth grade. And it wasn't necessary because I'm an A student. And every now and then I think about that and I think, why did you do that, Becky? Well, that's the least of the mistakes I've made in life. That's the one that bothers me. Why is that? I have no idea. You don't even have to write that in your notes. But God had a plan to rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave, weep for the erring ones. Aren't you glad my father was a musician? Brother Wiley used to call the house. Sometimes at a funeral, somebody would request a song that the church didn't sing or didn't know, and he'd call the house, especially if it's an old song. Daddy lived with us after Mama died, and he'd call and say, ask your daddy, does he know? And he always, the only one he didn't know was something about the roses and the, do you know that old funeral song? You haven't missed anything. Well, he didn't know it. And you don't need to know it, because I can tell you some of the words. Okay, he raised up the powers, as spake by the mouth of his holy prophet, since the world began, God had a plan. He's not last minute. He's not, oh dear, what are we going to do? Did you see what she did? What in the world made her do that? He knows you. Amen. And when you trip, he's ready to rescue. Now, when I get up in the middle of the night, which I do some nights frequently, and Wayne is a very sound sleeper, but if I make too much noise, he'll say, you need any help? You need any help? You need anything? He's always on alert to help me in case I trip and fall, or, you know, sometimes I go for an ice pack and I just sit in the office, don't come back, you know, and then he has to come check on me. And God's always on the alert and ready. He knows where you are. He knows what you're doing. He knows the mistake you've made. He's rescued the perishing. Care for the dying. Snatch them in pity. Someone asked, we were in Scotland. We went to the lighthouse. The most interesting part of the lighthouse is getting to the top. It's like, I mean, it's a long way up there. Well, this lighthouse was a display lighthouse. They have lighthouses except for a few miles all the way around the coast of Scotland and England. It's all the same. And Ireland, all the same landmass. And the light is at the bottom. And they roll that light manually in the early days. Now they don't. All the way to the top. And we're waiting and we're watching. And that's what God is watching, to see that you get to the top of the plan, that you're everything you could be, that you have everything that was paid for. He's watching you. Now, we got the top. They have this cute little balcony. So you can go out and look miles into the water. And Wayne says, well, we'll go out on the balcony. I said, no. And it's very windy there most of the time, very windy. No way in that windstorm I'm going. Wayne goes out there and he hangs over the balcony. He looks at the ground. He looks how far out he can see at the water. And I'm in the house going, no. God wants you to say no, what's wrong. But he wants you to know if you get hung on a balcony, he'll bring you back in. Because he's more than enough. He's more than enough. He's El Shaddai, the God of all plenty. He's the all-sufficient one. Not barely sufficient, sort of sufficient. Oh, I thought he'd rescue. No, he will. He's a great redeemer. Great redeemer, the one who paid the price to make abundant provision for you. That's what this says. And here is the essence of what the Holy Fathers knew of the plan that was planted from the foundation of the earth, that the prophets through the ages had talked about in various ways. That's what Isaiah 53 is that we just sung. That we should be saved from our enemies. Do you notice that's plural? Enemies? It doesn't say saved from the enemy. It says saved from enemies. In other words, Satan is deceptive and he brings various enemies into your life. Enemies. Now, Satan and sin is your first enemy. And that's what happened. Adam and Eve had a choice. They could have chosen life, but instead she was deceived. 1 Timothy tells us he was not deceived. In other words, he knew he was making a mistake when he chose to agree with her. That's interesting, isn't it? Have you ever done something and you knew it would be a mistake? You know the second piece of pie? I'm not talking about big mistakes, like big mistakes, but you know, just, oh, my, my, my. To save us from our enemies. And I'm not talking about overeating, although that is, I just read the history of this lady that lost 160 pounds. And her doctor came in. This was her first, he had not seen her. And he came in, he looked at her and he stared. And he went back out and looked at the name on the chart. He didn't know exactly who she was. And she'd been very diligent, obviously so, because she had lost it quite rapidly. You see, God recognizes you. He knows your footsteps. And every footstep has been ordered of heaven by the Spirit. And I can know what's provided for me. And when somebody says God doesn't heal today, I know by the Spirit that's not right. Amen. That is not right. Now you have to judge by the Spirit where you need to help them understand or you need to ignore them. God is not always going to give you unction to straighten them out. Maybe they're not ready. You understand that? Yes. I've seen people do damage by trying to fix something when it wasn't ready to be fixed. Now, one fella, his wife said, he's not Christian, obviously, and she said, he's read the scriptures through and he's memorized a lot of it, but he doesn't believe any of it. He should talk to you. Don't you think he should talk to you? I thought, maybe not. She said, you would really help him. I wanted to say, no, 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 no. Anyway, I said, I will give him 15 minutes. I will not interrupt him. I will listen to everything he has to say, and then he must give me 15 minutes, and he must not interrupt me, or I won't come. I didn't hear from them, as you know. I had to lay the parameters. See, God has laid some parameters in your life, and if you walk down that narrow road and stay in the Spirit, and stay in the Word, and understand that God your Father has provided abundantly for you, including healing for your body. Healing which leads you to health. Somebody should say to you, do you ever get sick? And you should be able to say, I think I had the flu in 79. See, your goals are not high enough. You've not reached out for the fullness of what God's provided for you. You should be able to look at your body and say, what do you think you're doing? Yeah. Are y'all all right? Yeah. We should be saved from our enemies, and disease is an enemy. Now, here's how disease came. There was sin in the garden. They gave a choice. They made the wrong choice. That choice led them to spiritual death. Spiritual death is the nature of Satan. It's being in Satan's kingdom. And spiritual death brought physical death. And when God came to speak to them about the tree that they had eaten of, he said, dust you are and to dust you will return. That's in chapter 3. Dust you are and to dust you will return. In other words, physical death was a direct result of spiritual death. It came from Satan's kingdom. It was not originally bought by God, provided by God, or orchestrated by God. It was not a part of the plan. It was a part of a wrong choice. And sickness and disease is progressive death. Unless your body rallies and does what it's supposed to and brings healing, or medical science is able to help you, then that disease will kill you. It's progressive death. It's death on the move. But you've been redeemed. Amen. You've been redeemed. You've been redeemed. You've been bought. You've been purchased. You have a full supply from enemies. Now, disease is not the only enemy. If God made a full provision for you, then there are a lot of enemies out there. Lack, poverty is an enemy. a lady told me she was part of a team that provided lunches for school children on weekends and through the summer. You know, they do that here in the county, and we're grateful for that. And so they didn't have a refrigerator, and so the team got together and got them a refrigerator, and the man sold it so they could go to Disney World. That's true. See, when God makes a provision, you should make use of His provision. And He provided healing, so you should have it. He said He'd meet all your need out of His riches, so you should have that. Now, years ago, every time it rained, our roof rolled into the yard, parts of it, the shingles rolled off. We didn't have to pray, does God want us to have a new roof? It's quite obvious that He's in agreement that the roof is in the yard. And so we had devotions with our children after every meal. And we decided, our credit's always been good. And Wayne could borrow a lot of money, just call in and say, says Wayne, come in. They say, we'll put it in your account. We've always had really good credit. But the Lord dealt with me. He said, do this by faith and in cash. And Wayne agreed with that. And we explained that to the children, that God has said we must re-roof with cash. So every night we would confess, because faith is what you believe and say. And we would say, thank you, Father. See, we talked about that last week. The shout of faith, words of faith, the song of faith comes before the victory. Before there's any, the only evidence we have of victory is God said, I'll meet your need out of my riches. And what we needed was a roof. Well, a lady sent me a large check, not enough for a roof, but really nice. And she called. She said, I know, I'm just nosy. The Lord dealt with me to send that to you, and I can't stand it unless I know what you're going to do with it. And I said, that's what she said. And so I said, we're going to re-roof. And so she said, oh, I feel better then. And you can just explain that any way you want to. And so my brother called. He was in college in Texas. And he said, I'm coming home for a two-week break, and Wayne and I will take the shingles off. Call your roofer and see if he'll cut your price if we take the shingles off. Well, they worked diligently to take the shingles off, and that was, and then we got a third check, and that was enough to do it if he cut our price, which he said he'd be glad to. But while Wayne and Philip were so busy taking the shingles off, he called and he said, you know, my roofer's finished early, and they're sitting here under a tree, and I'm paying them to sit under this tree. Could I send them to take the rest of your shingles off? He said, no charge. See, because God's more than enough. We didn't need healing that day. We needed a roof. Amen. But every day, you should say, oh, thank God I'm healed. Thank God I'm walking in health. Cough, cough, cough. Walking in health. My knee is killing me. Walking in health. Thank you, Father. And we don't say the negative. We don't speak the negative. We thank God for His promise. And if I'm not in a thankful mood, I go to the scripture or I go to my book. I have a book of scriptures and categories, and I wore one out. I've had a second one now. And I go to the page on healing. It's about five pages. And read those healing scriptures over and over and over again. Well, one gentleman facing surgery was insecure. And I tried to point him towards the Word. And he didn't quite get it. So I mailed him a book of scriptures. And I said, go to page so-and-so with all the healing scriptures and read those every single day, 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes in the afternoon. Now, I can't make you obey, but I can tell you what will help you. And so he did that. He had successful surgery, and we're very grateful. He emails us every day or two, and he's doing quite well. But he had to learn to stand on the promises. Not sit on the premises, stand on the promises. You got that part? I've shouted enough on that part. Enemies. Now, if you go down to verse 74, it's repeated that we'd be granted unto us that we'd be delivered out of the hand of the enemies. At first, it said saved from the enemy, delivered out of the hand of the enemy, might serve him without fear. Might serve him. The purpose of your healing and of your prosperity, and of your grasp of the scripture, and your knowledge, and your words, is so you can go into all the world and be a witness. Now listen carefully. Matthew 28, Jesus said, all authority is given unto me. All authority. Authority is not power. He said, all authority is given unto me. Go you therefore and make disciples. The authority he gave them was to teach and to preach and to disciple, not your neighbor. What does it say? It says nations. Well, most of us aren't going to be. I've been in nations, but most of us aren't going to be in nations. I've not been in nearly as many as most people. How are we going to disciple nations? And then he said, all power is given unto you, Acts 1:8. Now, authority is not power. They're two different things. Power brings transformation. Authority brings knowledge. When you go to a business, the man in charge has authority. That doesn't mean he knows how to do the job on the line. I watched that program on TV. Did you watch that? It's not on anymore. And they would hide the head of the company in his company so he could see how things were going. And one was a like a UPS place where they would box up things that people ordered. And the belt kept moving, and you had to grab it off the shelf behind you and put it in the box, and the box never stopped. And he's chasing the box way down here. He's always behind. He had the authority, but he didn't have the ability. And yet God has given you both. Amen. By the Spirit, you have ability. By the Word, you have authority. And it says, make disciples of nations. Now, I didn't know how we're going to do that since we're not, probably none of us, one of us may travel here and there, but we're not going to be missionaries probably and make an impact. But this man said, what nation do you pray for? And I thought, oh, that would work, wouldn't it? And he said, who's praying for Japan? And all the, they look like you, like. We are going to reach our neighbor, but we're not going to stop there. We have authority to declare the gospel message and to tell everybody what we know, what we understand, where we've stood in the gospel message. And see, where we've stood is going to heal me, and it's more than I know what God said. Let me tell you what God said did. The power of God that came because I knew what he said. I had authority. I was disciplined. I was a disciple. I knew what he said. And what he said brought the Holy Ghost power into my life. And I am healed. And I can be not only informed and intelligent in the Word, but I can be a testimony. Yes. Now, the word testimony is peculiar. I know you know what you... I thought... You know, everybody knows what that means, but no, you probably don't, because I didn't. What it means to do the same thing again. Did you know that? You can look that up in Hebrew. Do the same thing again. Well, when you hear a testimony, you're supposed to instantly think, God will do that again. He'll do that again. He still does that. He'll do that for you. That's the purpose of a testimony. Is to cause us to rise to the height of the full stature of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I've been watching this fellow preach for a long time, and he takes, we call him a Selah moment. You know that word in the Psalms means pause? That's what he does, and he stares at everybody. I'm getting where I kind of like that. He's probably like me, he's thinking of what to say next. He's trying to connect with the Spirit. Now, here's the reason for that. It's in verse 72. Here's the reason that your enemies have been conquered. Here's the reason you can be free. Spiritually free, because you can be born again. Physically free, because you can be healed. And every provision can be made for you. You don't have to live in lack and poverty. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. He provided salvation because he told Abraham he would. But not only did he tell Abraham, he mentioned that to Satan in the garden. He said, somebody's going to come along, step on your head, and all you're going to be able to do is snap at his heel. That's in Genesis 3. He said, you're defeated. He didn't defeat that for himself. He did that for you. He didn't need victory. He could have stayed on his chair by the Father. His feet on the footstool. I'm sure heaven has a footstool because every house needs a footstool. Is that right? Two people agree. Well, the rest of you go out today and get you a footstool. It's very important to have a footstool. There's victory in Jesus. My Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and by His blood, everything that's due you comes to you because of your faith and confession. Now, a lady that you all know and love that's on TV all the time, that's going to live to be 120 the way it looks, she said, God is never late, but He's frequently last minute. And I personally knew exactly what she meant. Because faith and patience inherits the promise, and we're a little short on the patience end. I mean, today would be a good day. Sometimes you pray that way. You say, okay, today. Someone said, well, what if the bill's due tomorrow? I said, you call them on the telephone and you tell them you are going to pay the bill, but you cannot pay it on time. And you apologize and tell them they will hear from you and you will send the money. They said, oh, that would be so embarrassing. No, that's just what you do. That's honesty. That's just what you do. Because the stripes healed and the Father's heart of mercy provides everything you need, from healing to finances. You see that? Well, I set myself an expectation. And if I set myself an expectation, my words are in line with what God has done. I know sometimes I want to say, it's not my knee. I just use that example. I want to say, my knee is killing me. Well, I don't have any knee problems. I say, my ears do hear, my eyes do see, my heart does beat normally, my veins in my arteries are clear of debris, and my knee and my joints work perfectly. All my organs are disease-free because the blood of the Lamb was shed for me. I didn't write that. I got it in the Spirit. And if I ever have a moment, that's what I should say instead of, oh! And I've lived with Wayne long enough. I don't have to tell him what's wrong. He can tell by my face. He knows my face. And that's the way it should be. I was really tempted, don't write this down, to teach love and marriage today on Valentine's Day. I love to do that. Because there's a part of that wonderful scripture in Ephesians that nobody ever teaches. And I thought, but I'm true to my assignment. I'm not assigned to do that. But I would have loved that. Submission does not mean obedience. It doesn't say wife obeys, it says wife submit. And there is a vast difference in the two words. They are not the same. That's all I'm going to tell you. Okay. Now look, that He would grant unto us being delivered, that's verse 7, for the handmaids might serve Him in holiness and righteousness. All of this is to enhance my life so that I can be a disciple, so that I can disciple my neighbor, but so that I can reach out in the Spirit and disciple nations, so that I can be a part of the answer. And if there's a missionary you appreciate, precious missionary, precious, precious man, I did not know him. He spoke here years and years ago. That's the only time I ever heard his name. And he just had heart surgery. And we had followed his travels. He had some trauma in traveling. And we had followed his travels. And we were able to, through him, disciple that nation. Through his healing and getting him back on the road, you see. We were able to disciple not just a neighbor. Well, we don't have any neighbors, so I don't feel guilty. But you may have a neighbor you should have probably... We had a neighbor on the street next to us, over there yonder, through the field and across the fence and the ditch. And the Lord kept dealing with me to go over there, and I thought, you know, I am the most serious, one of the most serious, I'm in the top 10 of introverts of the world. I don't need lunch with the ladies. I don't. There's just a lot of things that I have to talk myself into. Well, finally, I said, okay, I'm going. She was in the yard, I think. She invited me in. I went and sat down. She had this huge dog. And she said, oh, he's a retired police dog. And I noticed when I came in, he stood on his feet and went. I said, does he know he's retired? I just wanted to make sure. Does he know he's retired? Do you know you can't retire? I don't care if you're 32, 42, 72, or 82. You can't retire. Because in my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody in heaven's harmony. In my heart, that melody begins to ring. And as it rings, you sing. And as you sing, you reach the people around you. And as you bow on your knees, you say, Father, in Russia, we've been in Russia many times, teaching at a Bible school that's, of course, non-existent today. And we begin to pray. The first time I was in Russia, we had to walk a considerable distance because transportation. Anyway, you have to walk. And I'm a great walker, as you know. And when we went in, I don't know what I expected, but when we went in the classroom, it was a very large class. The Spirit of the Lord almost hit me in the face, and I was like, oh, God is here. I don't know what I thought. God is here. It was amazing. And they listened so intently. And it's so easy for me to pray for the Russian pastors. This is trauma for them today. You see that? You're with authority to speak, to do, to share, to declare, and with power through the anointing of God that comes upon you to transform lives. And the best way to do that is to be transformed yourself. God will heal you. That's not your best method of attack. Now look at, where do I want to go? 1 Peter. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed. Redeemed how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed. Free from the law, happy condition, Jesus blend, there is remission, bruised by the fall and cursed by the law, Christ has redeemed us, redeemed us, redeemed us. I got in big trouble right here at Family Worship Center. Big, big trouble. Pastor Reggie wanted to sing, Break Thou the Bread of Life, and he couldn't remember it. And he kept pacing and staring. And I'm in my heart, I'm saying, okay, break thou the bread of life, dear. I'm seeing if I remember it all. Dear Lord, to me as I to break the loaves beside the sea, beyond that. He said, Beckham, I'm only a singer in the anointing. If the anointing doesn't come, I'm not singing. You got that right. I am not a singer. Well, we made a pathetic effort. That's all I'm going to tell you. Chapter 2, as much as you know you were not redeemed with the corruptible things of silver and gold. In other words, you can't buy into the kingdom. Jesus provided the pathway to glory. From your vain conversation, hey, that word conversation is never in reference to speech in the scripture. It's always in reference to activity, your behavior. Behavior is probably a better word. You didn't buy in because of your behavior or because you had enough money. That's what that verse says. It wasn't that you had enough money to get saved or that you were good enough to be saved. Now, that's important when people get really sick because one of the first things they tell you, they say, well, Mama is always in church. Mama's the best Christian in this place. Yep. And you know what? That's true of Mama. It was true. But it won't heal her. Your behavior will not heal you. It's your faith and your confession that heals you. And because you have faith and you love God, you live right. And it says in Luke 1, we were saved from the enemies so we could serve Him in holiness and righteousness. We were saved to serve, not saved to sit. You're not saved to sit. You're saved to serve. Now, You're saved, verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. And that's what Luke 1 said. This was God's plan. That's amazing, isn't it? God had a plan. Now, sin is going to shift some things in our world, but it doesn't shift the plan. You see that? It doesn't shift God's desire. You've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. I've been bought. My sin is paid for. My sins are remitted and blotted out. There's no record. They're gone. And then he goes on, Luke 1 says, so serve him. So serve him. All that he's done for you and in you, now he'll do through you into the life of others. A little lady came to me and brought her friend, and she said, I appreciated this. Don't just bail out because you don't know what to do. And she said, I figured you'd know, but my friend wants to be saved, and I don't know what to tell her. Well, that was kind of sad on her part. But on the other part, she came, and we talked to the friend and helped her. But we come to a point when I know healing. I know healing. You come to that point. You know healing. You know that. You know by Jesus' stripes. That's what the singer sang in the beginning. You know by Jesus' stripes. You know that. And so what I'm doing is listening to them talk and thinking, I'm checking my spirit to see if this is a good time. You know, a couple of times I wanted to say, can I tell them they're crazy and looped now, or do you want me to wait, or should I not say that? Or because those people are out there. Little lady said, I think it was her daughter that brought her, and she sobbed and she sobbed and she sobbed, and I couldn't talk to her. She's hysterical. And I said, I hope you were the driver. And she says, yes, I brought her. And so finally, when we came to a moment, I said, what's the problem? And she said, I'm going to have surgery. The only vision she had of surgery was dying. See, and if my vision is not coordinated with the word of a living God, I'm going to be in distress. I have to say, what? Not what do I see, not how do I feel, not what did they say. But what's in the word? It's written in the word, hallelujah. It's written that you look and live. Look and live, look and live, look to Jesus now and live. Do you know what happens to me when the anointing's strong? Are y'all good guessers? The stronger the anointing, the more I sing. I don't know how that happens. I had other things to say. I can't say them today. We're headed towards dealing with our minds. We will get there maybe next week. You see, when you look at the scripture and you shout in victory and you sing in victory, when you're worried, upset, uptight, and depressed, and your mind's offline, it's because you're no longer looking at the word, you're looking at your symptoms. Isn't that right? Yes. We're going to cover some of that for you. Oh, we're so glad you've redeemed us, that you've made every provision for spirit, soul, and body. You want our body to function well and be healed and healthy. You want every circumstance to promote freeness of life and generosity. And we're grateful that we're on the path to glory. I saw the gate of heaven open for Mama. I saw it. And I thank you that each of us, by our decision, enters that gate healthy and whole, having lived a full and abundant life. That doesn't make us a millionaire, Father. It just makes your provision and every need met. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you for these who listen. Listen so patiently. We're so grateful. Help us to declare it clearly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.